We begin the current daf and set this erech in daf lamed gimel. Begin full lines down at the top of the yamud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, in our previous Mishnah, we discussed the laws that were discussed regarding bati erechayma, the houses in the walled city. And the Mishnah delineated what are some cities that are considered walled cities from the days of Yishuv Benun. Which the Gemara wondered, what do you mean, are these the only cities? Aren't there others? And the Gemara actually brought down the machlaikis regarding if we're only going to count these as the Bat Yerachayim, or there are so many more cities that were walled cities from the days of Yishuv Benun. Now related to that, the Gemara said that that would be contingent on if Kedusha L'Shaita or Kedusha L'Asalavai. When they originally, initially sanctified Eretz Yisrael, when Yishuv Benun came in the first time the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, was that an eternal sanctity? And then all those cities that were there initially are all having the halacha Bat Yerachayim even when they came back for the second Beis HaMikdash in the days of Ezra? Or was only Kedusha L'Shaita? And therefore, when they came back from Babel with Ezra, those cities that they sanctified were sanctified like those mentioned in our Mishnah, but other cities, although they were walled from Yishuv Benun, would not have that sanctity. Now, related to that discussion was brought, there's a pasuk of comparing when the Jews came back with Ezra, which was for the second time coming to Israel, comparing it to the days in Yishuv Benun. So, what one interpretation said that, oh, to show you see that they have to re-sanctify the land, just like they did the initial sanctification days of Yeshua. Because obviously Kedusha was only Shaita by Yeshua and not Lasa Lavin. Therefore they had to do it again when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the first time. Now, that the terminology that was used was because they had to now sanctify the land to count the Shemitah cycle and the Yevil cycle. So on that the Gemara said, what do you mean? In the days of Ezra, you think they counted Shemitah and Yevil? But how is that possible? We know that when already the tribes of Reuven and Gad and half of Menashe, when they were exiled by Sancheiriv, then they stopped Yevil. Obviously already then in the times of Ezra, that for sure then they didn't have any more the halachas of Yevil. So the Gemara said, you're right, that Yevil was only necessary to count the Shemitah cycle properly to have that 50th year interrupt. That's why our Gemara continues asking on that braisa. So that braisa, the way we're explaining was assuming that, yeah, they didn't count the Yevil year, but they counted the Shemitah, because that's not contingent on all an entire Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't count Yevil, because already when the Shevet of Reuven and Gad, when they were taken into exile, then you didn't have the entirety of L'chol Yishvel in Eretz Yisrael, you stopped counting Yevil. Avada Gemara as V'loi Manu, and the Shita Megubetz takes out the word Shemitah, because that's not contingent, and yeah, Shemitah they had, that continued. But v'leimanu shmitin v'yevil is, the question is, did they not count, did they not have the halachas of Yevil from the times when Sancheiriv conquered Eretz Yisrael and exiled the tribes of Reuven and Gad, as we said in the previous daf? And therefore we said for sure then in the times of Ezra much later on that they didn't have that anymore? And like we said, the Yevil was only there to count as a filler, not to count that 50th year, but we didn't have Yevil anymore? But v'okseh, but it's a pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah that talks about Tzidkiyah HaMelech. Says, Miket Shebashanim, he says at the end of the 7 years, Tishalchu ish es achiv v'ivri asher yemachalach. So the Navi, that the Yirmiyah Navi is saying that everyone should send his brother, the Jewish man, asher yemachalach, which was sold to you, the Jewish slave, you should send him out after 7 years back home. Now, Vavinba, we had asked regarding this pasuk, how do you understand this? Miket Shebashanim? Is it really so that after 7 years, which sounds like that's after 7 years, including the seventh year, that he's still going to be the Eved Ivri for you? But v'ksiv, the pasuk says, in the varm v'vatcha sheishanim, the Jewish slave only works for 6 years and goes free in the seventh year, not working for 7 years and going free in the eighth year. On that, v'am Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he said that you're right, sheish l'nimka. 6 years for the regular slave that sold, the Jewish man, like it says in Shmai Schafal, sheishanim yavin, only works for 6 years. V'sheva l'nirtza, this pasuk is referring to a nirtza. A nirtza is a person that says, you know what, I want to stay longer than my mandated 6 years. So what happens is they bore a hole in his ear, and then he doesn't leave up until the Yevil year. That's what this pasuk was referring to. If the nirtza, he has to stay till Yevil now. And then in the eighth year, it's the eighth year from when his ear was bored a hole, then after the 7 years, he's going to go out in Yevil. So you're right, it's not talking about the regular slave who was only for 6 years going out in the seventh year. It's talking about where the eighth year is Yevil, it's going out after 7 years. But one thing we see that in the days of Tzidkiyah HaMelech, the laws of Yevil applied, because that's how we explain the pasuk, he's going free in Yevil. Now Tzidkiyah was at the times of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, which was many generations after Sancheiriv had already exiled from the tribes of Reuben and Gad, which we said was most definitely Ezra was after that when they're coming back for the second Beis HaMikdash, and yet still we see that the laws of Yibel did apply, didn't stop like we had assumed on the previous staff from the days of Sancheirv. So the Gemara, no, this pasuk in Yirmiyah is where Yirmiyah Navi is rebuking the Jewish people. Become a Navi, and what the prophet was telling them was, Hashilachtem, did you send the slaves out in after the seventh year, meaning when the Yevil was in the eighth year, when you still had Yevil? You didn't, and therefore you're being punished by Hashem. But he's not telling them to do this, because you're right, there's no law of Yevil anymore from the days of Sancheirv, even that in the days of Tzidkiyahu, which this pasuk is taking place, and like we said in the previous stuff, for sure in the days of Ezra. But the Gemara asks, how could you say that? The pasuk says, "V'yishmu v'yishalechu." It says that they listened and they sent. So you see that they were fulfilling this dictate, which was applicable to the laws of Yevil. You see that there was Yevil even after Sancheirv had exiled part of the Jewish people. So Elam Rabbi Yechon, rather, he says, you're right. It's like we said in the previous stuff. You have to have the entirety of the Jewish people. When Sancheirv exiled from parts of the Jewish people, the Yevil stopped. And therefore, when Ezra came back in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, when they only had a small part of the Jewish people, they didn't have the laws of Yevil. So how was the Yevil at the end of the first times of the first Beis HaMikdash, which was after Sancheirv? It's because Yirmi Hechzirin, at that time, Yirmi HaNavi actually brought back from the exiles that were exiled by Sancheirv. And V'Yishio ben Amon Melech Alein, and the king Yishio, he actually ruled over all of the Jewish people, and therefore they were able to have Yevil at that time. Says the Gemara Menol in the Hada, how do we know that Yirmiyah HaNavi brought them back? Because the pasuk says in Sefer Yecheskel in the days of Tzidkiyah HaMelech, says ki ha-meicher el ha-memker le-yashem, that he was telling them that the seller to the sale will not return. In other words, he was saying that you're going to end up going into exile, and the halachas of Yevil are going to cease to be, and therefore the fields are not going to go back to the rightful owners as it has always been up until now, where the field would go back to the seller in the Yevil year. Now the question is, this in the days of Tzidkiyahu. Efshar Yevil Batel, is it possible that the laws of Yevil ceased to be when the tribes of Reuben and Gad were exiled in the days of Sancheirv? The Navi Misnabi of Shevatel, and the prophet is Yecheskel, is prophesizing that it's going to stop to be. It already stopped being many years ago. Elam Alam et Shechzir and Yirmiyah. Rather, it's like we said, because Yirmiyah and Navi actually brought them back. So the laws of Yevil came back, and therefore at that time period, the laws of Yevil did apply. Well, after they went, the Churban Beis HaMikdash had stopped. And therefore, in the days of Ezra, it also wasn't. But at that time period, there was. And says Gemara, Menon de Yeshua Melechalina, how do we know that Yeshua HaNavi went, that Yeshua HaMelech ruled over them because Yirmiyah HaNavi brought them back? Because Chassid, the Pasuk says in Melachim Beis, says, V'yem, that Yeshua HaMelech said, Mahatzim Halaz, what is this marker over here, Hashani Roya, that I see? And the people of the city said to him, Hakever Israelikim, this is the grave of the man of God, the Shabam Yehuda, that came from Judea. The Yikras Advarim, and he said these things, which you did, Alamizbech Basel, on this altar in Basel. Now the question is, what is Yeshua HaMelech doing, as this pasuk is talking about in Basel? Because this pasuk is talking about Yeshua HaMelech. And it was told about when he was going out to rid Eretz Yisrael of all the idols that were there. Now, Basel was in the territory which the Jewish kingdom was split up in the days after David HaMelech, where there was the Malchi Yehuda, which was from the dynasty of David HaMelech, and then there was Malchi Yisrael. Now, Basel was in the territory of Malchi Yisrael. Yeshua was the Melech Yehuda. What was he doing over there? Ella Keshachazir and Yirmiyah, rather when Yirmiyah and Navi brought them back, parts of the Malchi Yisrael, Yeshua Melchalan, then Yeshua ruled over all of Eretz Yisrael, and again, that was the time period that they had Yevil back again. Now, additional source from Nachman Yitzchak HaMahachi says, the source is from here, in Sefer Hosea, says, Gam Yehuda Shas Katzer Lecha. Now also, Yehuda, which is Malchi Yehuda, they will make a Katzer, which it also means Katzin, which means a ruler, because a nun is switched with a resh, like we find Nebuchadnezzar is written in the Torah, Nebuchadrezzar. So it's that you will have a king from Yehuda, Bishuv Yishvasami, when I will return the captives of my people, meaning when they will come back, like we said, that from Sheva Reuben and Gad, that Malchi Yehuda will rule over them. That's a pasuk that's referring to this idea. Now we know that Yeshio ruled over them, and that because Yirmiyah HaNavi had brought them back, and again, therefore it's not a contradiction why at that time period that there actually was the laws of Yevil. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding Batei Arachema, the houses of a walled city. Now we talk about a similar Batei HaChatzer, houses that the cities don't have walls. Rather, they're these open fields that have houses. So here it says the Mishnah, Nisan lehem koyach yafa shebebati erichem. And here the halach is, in contrast to the two previous halachas we were discussing in this parak regarding someone who sells his ancestral field, which is one thing, fields, and regarding bati erichem, is selling the houses of walled cities, which have different halachas. Here the bati hachatzerim, the houses of open cities, they get the benefit, they get the strong points of the halacha of a house of a walled city. Because yafa shebesadis, and also get the strength of someone who sells his field. Which, as the Mishnah explains, minigolin miyat, the one who sells this house of the open cities, could redeem it right away, and he doesn't have to wait 2 years that the seller could, that the buyer could hold on to it like it is by when he sells his field. And incidentally, we're just using the terminology that we have by Batei Rechema, which you could also buy back right away, which is v'chol shnei masa chedesh kebatim, and all 12 months, but it's not limited to that. It's just that by batim, it has the same halacha like that regarding houses, that you don't have to wait 2 years. You don't have the halacha like fields. You could buy it back right away like Batei Erechem. Now, additionally, the other benefit is the yitzin b'yevul u'begurayin kesef, and it goes out to the seller in the yevul year, and also in diminishment of monies like fields, which is that he diminishes the price from the buyer according to the years that he held on to it, like fields, like the pasuk says, v'chishav eshnei mimkarei, where if you sold it for $50 for 50 years, as the year goes by, each dollar, each year is diminished to a dollar, you could buy back accordingly. So, on some level, the batei chatzerim has both benefits of each one. Now, Tanur Bar Milun, Abraisam, quotes the pasuk in Vayikra, where the pasuk says, which is discussing the batei hachatzerim, this halacha of our Mishnah regarding the fields in the open cities. So the pasuk there begins that these batei hachatzerim, which don't have a wall surrounding them, says al sadeh ha'aretz yichashav, that like the field on the land, they will be considered. So hikisha kasal v'steachuz, the pasuk is equating these batei hachatzerim to fields, to the ancestral fields. So we learn, Masteachuz is just like the ancestral field. Yetzi b'yevul b'groin kesef, it goes out in the yevul year to the seller, or as diminishing of money if he comes to redeem it before yevul. So to these houses of the open cities, yetzi b'yevul b'groin kesef, they go back to the seller in the yevul year, or each year proportionally, how much to buy it back with. Now, im Masteachuz, but then if we're comparing it to the ancestral field, so then I would say, in the Gelz B'Pachas M'shtei Shan, then you can't redeem it in less than 2 years, like the Steachuza. So, Av Patei Chatzeim in the Gelz B'Pachas M'shtei Shan. So to these houses of open cities also cannot be redeemed in less than 2 years. That's the Pasuk teaches over there in that same Pasuk, Ge'ula Tiloi. No, redemption there should be Fim, and it doesn't say a limitation of 2 years, which is Miyad, immediately, which is like the Batei Rechaim. Now, continues the Braisim, so you're giving him the benefit of like someone who's selling his fields. And the gear says, and the benefit of someone who's selling his houses. So you would think it wouldn't go out in the yevul year to the seller, to the owner, to the original owner. Therefore it says there in the pasuk that in the yevul year it goes out. Which the Gemara right away asks, my kama, what is the Braisa saying? From where would you think that this field, that this house of open city would not go out in Yevul? What do you mean? One of the things you compared it to was a Steachuza, which a Steachuza, like we said, that's the halacha, that it goes out in the Yevul year. Why do you need the words Ubayevul Yetzi to go say it goes out in the Yevul year? Obviously, you already compared it to Steachuza. So Amar Funi says the following interpretation. He says, Loi Nitzvuch, it wasn't necessary to say this drush, what the pasuk is coming to allude to. Ubayevul Yetzi, Ela Lamaktish Bayis Bebatei Chatzeim. We're talking about where the owner of this house of an open city sanctified his house. V'golei achar miyad hektish. Now someone else went and redeemed it. Like you could always do with things of hektish, someone else redeemed it. Upoga b'yevul b'shanashnia. Now, in the second year from when this consumer had bought it from the treasurer, in that second year, fell out the yevul year. Says the Gemara as follows. L'may medamisle. So, what are you going to compare this case of the batei hachatzerim, which was makdish, someone redeemed it, and now in the second year it's yevul? What halacha are you going to compare it to? Because you said you give it the benefit of comparing it to, and that's what the braisa is coming to contrast to of steachuza and of batei rechema. But in this situation, which one of these two are you going to compare it to? And that is, if you're going to compare it to the houses of the walled cities, so it has already been confirmed that it's the consumers, because that's what we learned in the Brisa previously, that if someone redeems it from the hand of Hektish, so then after 12 months, it belongs to the one that redeemed it. And therefore here, when it reaches Yevon the second year, even though and he hadn't originally redeemed it, it's going to be confirmed to be the buyers. So then this owner would have lost it, if you compare it to Batei Erchema. Ilus de Achuzim Adamas, and if you could bring it to the other halacha of the ancestral field, he also would have lost it, because Lekahanim Nafke, it would go out to Kahanim. Because someone who sanctifies his ancestral field and someone else redeems it, that's the halacha that we've always been saying, that it goes out to Kahanim in the Yevil year. That's what we have to say here in this halacha, of this case, of the Batei Chatzerim, that even though the two things that you would have compared to, even those two you would have lost it, halacha says that it goes out in the Yevil year, it will go back to the original owner of the Batei Chatzerim. Now that's why we picked the case specifically when the Yevil falls out in the second year. Because if Yevil will fall out in the first year, then we wouldn't need a Vayevil Yetzeh to say that it goes back to the original owner. Because even though if you're going to compare it to the if when because you're going to compare it to Batei Arichayma, it's not going to be confirmed to the buyer, and it's going to go out in the Yevil year because he has the strong points of the field, which the field goes back. When you sell a field, it goes back to the owner. So even though by Batei Erchema you don't have that halacha of Yevil, but you also compare it to the strong point of the field, which it would go back if it hits Yevil. So therefore, that's why we needed to say in this case that this is the case that even though the two things that you compare it to would actually not go back to the owner, Yevil Yetzeh says that it will go back, in this case, uniquely of the Batei HaChatzerim, to the original owner. Now, but Maskel Rav Zeira, he asked on this interpretation of Rav Huna, says, "My iri golei acher." Why did he have to say, as we had to understand, what is this pasuk of Yevil Yetzeh coming to talk about? Specifically, he says, when someone else redeems it from this owner who is makdish his Batei HaChatzerim, afil goloi. Even if someone else doesn't redeem it, nami, we should also say that interpretation is telling us, this chiddush of the pasuk, that it will be removed from the hand of Hektish, because it says, and the Yevil year go out, no matter what the circumstances is, to the original owner. Because as Rashi points out, you can't say that it would be referring to when he sells it to a commoner, because we already know that if he sells it to a commoner, that's going to go out to him in the Yevil year, because it is already compared to stay achuza, which we know when you sell the stay achuza, it goes back to its owner in the Yevil year. So maybe the Yevil Yetzeh, it should tell us, even if someone else didn't redeem it, just from Hektish it should go back. Why are you saying specifically if someone else redeemed it? And then I'm like, Abaye answers, he says, no, because shalo yomru Hektish Yetzeh b'lipidin. You can't say that something should leave from the possession of Hektish without a redemption. So that wouldn't be the possible interpretation. It has to be someone redeemed it. Now what happens in the Yevil year, that's what we're saying, even though by Batei Erchema and by the Stei Achuzas, it would not go back. In this case of the Batei HaChatzerim, it will go back to the original owner. And says Abaye Manolim, where do we know this from? That nothing can leave the possession of Hektish without a redemption, that we cannot interpret the pasuk like that. Miben Levi, we know this from the halachas that apply to a Levi. Because we have the following Kal Vachomer. Ma ben Levi, sheyupa koicha b'memkari. If a Levi has a strong positioning regarding when he sells something, which is that he could redeem right away his field from his cities, contrast to regular Yisrael. Additionally, his Batei Erchema, he could always redeem, and unlike a Yisrael only has a year, and it goes out in the Yevil year, again, unlike a Yisrael, as we're going to explain this shortly. Yet still, he has a weak point in regards when he's makdish something, where, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain that too, that it cannot be removed from makdish without being redeemed. So Yisrael, so regarding Yisrael that we're talking about over here, let's say by the Batei Chatzerim, that he has a weaker point in his sales regarding to all these things that we said that Levi has stronger than him. In the din shayr koyecha bekdeshes, isn't the kavol chomer from Levi that for sure Yeshes have a weak point regarding when he's makdish something, that it would not be able to go ahead and get it back from Hekdesh without somewhat of a redemption. Now says the Gemara and Bahasim and Olam, how do we know by Levi that shayr koyecha bekdeshes that you're making a kavol chomer to Yisrael? Because the Tanya like learned on Brisa, the pasuk in the Yikra that says vasha yigal min halavim, that which will be redeemed from a Levi, says the pasuk v'yotza mimker. So that's which he has sold, which the Pasuk says, his house and from the city of his ancestral, net in the Yevil year, it's going to go back to him because the houses of the cities of Levim is their permanent ancestry amongst the Jewish people. Now, but says the Brice as follows. If the Pasuk would have only said, Vashayigal min alvim, that which is redeemed from the Levim, v'yotze mimka b'yevil, and that which he had sold goes back to min yevil, and it wouldn't have said, what the Pasuk continues, that it's a house, bayis. So then I would have said, Shemayani, I would understand, afil avodov metalt l'vishtarav, that even if he sold his slaves, movable items, documents of a Levi, if he sold it, it should go back to min the yevil year. That's what Tamil Lemon, that's the Pasuk had to teach. No, specifically, bias, virachuzasai, has to be regarding his house from his ancestral field, not just anything that he sells goes back to Megavel. Now, but then the question is, ma Tamil Lemon mimker? So, what do we learn out from the fact that it says what he sold, which that sounds like whatever he sold, which would seem to indicate even movable items? What's the terminology mimker coming to tell us? So, Zabrai said, no, it's not coming to teach us anything he sold. It's coming to teach us that Mimkar of Yetzibachim is qualifying this halacha that was saying that the house, these things that he sold that do go back to Mende Yevil for free, are only regarding things that he sold. But they ain't Hektish Yetzibachim, but that which he sanctified this from his possessions do not go back to him for free, Elibit Pidyon. That he could only get back if he redeems. So therefore we said, if a Levi, which is Yupukoichai Bimimkari, is Harikoichai Bekteshai, so you sold it. For sure it's going to be Harikoichai Bekteshai, and you could only get it back with redemption. Therefore we have to explain this halacha b'yetzba yevil, specifically of the Batech Hatzim, only in the case where someone else had finally redeemed it, and then the yevil goes back to him. But if no one redeemed it, you can't get it back without a redemption. Now says Gemara, Upliga. This halacha of Rav Huna that we quoted before, that if someone sanctifies, which that's how he qualified this halacha of Yotz B'Yevil, if someone sanctifies the house in his open cities, and someone else redeems it from Hektish, then it leaves that person's possession. It goes back to the original owner in the Yevil year. That disagrees with Rabbi Yishia. Because Rabbi Yishia, he said as follows. He says, Hakol hoyu b'chlal, everything was included in what the Pasuk says of a Yikra, but nas nakes, of a kamlai. That if someone gives money to Hektish, so then that is retained by that person who redeemed it. He gets to keep it forever. But Kishaparat HaKasa, when the Pasuk is specific and it points out regarding someone that redeems Bisteachuza, when he redeems someone else's ancestral field from Hektish. Then the Pasuk says, an exception, in the Pasuk in B'yukar it says, V'hoya Sada, but then the field's going to be. But when the Yevil year comes out, it's going to go out Kodesh Lashem, it's going to go out and be Kodesh Lashem, it's going to go to the Kahanim, it's going to get removed from the one who redeemed it. The inference is, yes, Sadahu de Paraklei V'nafka L'Kahanim. Only the ancestral field that someone's Makdish, then in the Yevil year that goes out and is taken out from the one who redeemed it, and is going to go out to the Kahanim. That's where the Torah removed it from the category of anas nakes of a kamlai, that the one who redeems it gets to keep it. Here it's saying it's not like that. Aval hanoch, but regarding these other cases, like what we're discussing here in our mission of the batei chatzerim, houses from the open cities, which is not a steachuza, no, that's kedekai mekaimi. That's going to be as the other original pasuk says, the kamlai, and it does not get removed from the hand of lekeach in the yevil year, and he disagrees with this halacha of Rav Huna. Now, but then the question is, if that's the case, then ubayevil yatzah. Then according to Rabbi Yishia, this pasuk that in the Yevil year goes out, that says in Batei Chatzerim Lamali, what do you need it for? Rav Huna was saying, interpreting those extra words, because of course it goes out in the Yevil, we already know that it's compared to Steachuza. So he says, no, it's coming to say this case. But Rabbi Yishia disputes this case, and he says, actually it does not go out in Yevil to the original owner. So according to Rabbi Yishia, what are these words coming to tell us? So my papa says, according to Rabbi Yishia, le'nitzach it's only necessary el lemeicher. This is in contrast to the way Rav Huna interpreted regarding someone who's makdish. He's saying it's el lemeicher bais b'batei chatzerim. Someone sells a house in the open cities, and same type of case, just is switching it regarding selling. Upaga b'yevil b'shana shniyah. And then in the second year from the one who bought it, in the second year is yevil. That's what we need it for, because lemay medamislam. Which one of these two categories that the puzzle compares it to are you going to compare it to say that it'll go back to? If you're going to compare it to the house of the walled cities, then Ichlit Lelekech. It's already confirmed to be the buyers after already passed that first year. And if you're going to compare it to ancestral field, then Hashlamabai. Then it would actually require a completion. Meaning to complete the second of the 2 years, that it would fit to be that Lekeach is supposed to hold on to the Steachuzah that he bought for at least 2 years, as we taught previously in the beginning of the Perek, that if someone ate 1 year's worth of produce before Yevil, then although Yevil year comes and it takes it off from him, we allow him to complete the second year after the Yevil, then here in the Batei Chatzim, we should allow at least the one who bought this house to at least have it at least one extra year after Yevil. That's what we have to say. No, the Yevil year goes out, that actually it will leave right away. He won't get an extra year, and that's what we wouldn't know from comparing to any one of those two. It's regarding selling it, but not regarding Hektish, because the everybody she says actually that stays in the hand of the Lekech. However, says the Gemara Tanika Vaseid Rav Huna. We have a Bryce that says and supports Rav Huna, who he said that if someone sanctifies this house in the open cities and someone else redeems it from Hektish, that it actually leaves that buyer and it goes back to the original owner in Yevil. And therefore, if it's Tiyuv to Rebbeisha, it refutes Rebbeisha, who he had said, no, it retains as it is in the hand of Lekech. Because the Bryce says, this case, Hamakdish Bayis Bebat HaChasim, if someone sanctifies a house in the open city, so the Loch is Hariza Goyal Miyad, he can redeem it right away. And additionally, and this is the Chiddush B'Goyal Olam, he could always redeem it, even if someone else redeemed it, he could redeem it from him, in contrast to, let's say, Estei Achuza, the Halacha says, Lo Yigol Oid, when someone else redeems it, you can't redeem it anymore, you lost that ancestry. Here we're saying that if someone sanctifies his Batei Chatzerim, he could subsequently always redeem it. Now, moreover, says the Braisam, Golei Achram Yad Hektish, let's say someone else redeemed it from Hektish. And if it reached the Yevil year, and still the original owner did not redeem what he had sanctified from the hand of the one who redeemed it from Hektish, it goes back to the owner in the Yevil year for free, which is like Rav Huna, and therefore a refutation of Rav Huna. You see, it doesn't stay by him in the case of Maktish, and someone else redeemed it, rather goes back to the original owner. That's what we learn now from these extra words that the Brayse are coming to say, of Yatsa B'Yevil, even in the case where you would not have known it from Estei Achuza, still it's always going to go back in regards to the houses of the open cities. Now, Ketun Tamad Beis, where the Mishnah qualifies and says, Ve'eluhin Batei Chatzim, what's considered a house of an open city? So it's not just even if it's an open city. Even says the Mishnah, if you have a city that only has Shnei Chatzim, two courtyards, Shal Shnei Batim, of two houses, which in contrast, when we had qualified the Batei Rechem, we said it has to have three courtyards to be a minimum with two houses. If it has even just two courtyards with two houses, even if it was surrounded with a wall, that's considered like the house of an open city. It's not considered a house of a walled city to have those halachas, rather has these leniencies of a Batei HaChatzer. The Torah Bam Lutna Bryce elaborates on this halach of our Mishnah, Mimashma Shenema. And the fact that it says in the Pasuk in Vayikra, Batei Chatzerim, the houses of the open fields, of the open courtyards, so any day Shein Lam Chemet, don't I already know that those houses don't have a wall surrounding it? Because that's a Batei Chatzerim. It sounds like that. It's not in the city. Rather, it's just settlements in courtyards that are near each other. So Matam Lam, what does the Pasuk teach there in that same Pasuk that says, Ashein Lam Chemet, it doesn't have a wall? I already know it from the terminology of Batei Chatzerim. Rather, says the Brice is coming to tell us, even if it has a wall, when it's saying it doesn't have a wall, it's like as if it doesn't have a wall, since it doesn't have the sufficient required of residencies to consider as a city. Now, says the Gemara Vekama, and how much are they that will not be considering that their wall will make it into a walled city? So that's what the Pasuk says. When it says batim, the minimum is shnayim. The minimum of plurality always tells you two. When it says chatzeris courtyards, that's shnayim, that's two. So we're talking about shtei chatzeris or shnei batim, two courtyards of two houses. Even if it has a wall, it's like it doesn't have a wall because it only has two courtyards and not three courtyards. But on that, it's the Gemara. But Ve'ema say maybe it's talking about bayis v'chatzer, meaning a house in the courtyard and a house in the courtyard. But if, let's say, there were two houses in every courtyard, like the way we describe it in the Mishnah, maybe actually that would be considered like a walled city and would not be considered like Batei Chatzerim. Because this of the plurality of Batim, maybe it's not that there's two courtyards and each courtyard there's two. No, maybe there's two courtyards and each courtyard there's one house. That's what's Batei Chatzerim, that even when there's a wall, it's like it doesn't have a wall. But maybe if, like the way you described it in the Mishnah, that there's two courtyards and each courtyard there's two, maybe that would be considered like a Batei Arachayimah. So the Gemara, no, Imkain, if that's the case, the Torah should have just said that there's courtyards and not written that there's houses, and I would have known that you don't have a courtyard without a house. And says the Gemara, maybe you're going to say that no, because Rahman HaChatzim had the Torah only written courtyards, that's considered not a bate aruch, not a bate aruchema, I would have thought it means chatzah b'loy bayis mashma, that, yeah, it's referring to only quarters without houses. But with houses, it would be bate aruchema. No, hahu karfa fikri. Courtyards without houses is not considered a courtyard. It's considered enclosed areas of land. From the fact that it says chatzayim, I would have known that each courtyard has one house. Why does it say batim to tell you that each courtyard has two houses? And that's the case of our Mishnah. Even that each of these two courtyards have two houses inside, that doesn't fulfill the minimum quota. It has to be three courtyards with two houses in each, and therefore it can be considered a case of batei hachatzer. Now the Gemara continues, the next Mishnah, continuing on these halachas of batei arachayma, houses in the walled cities. So the Mishnah says, Yisrael sheyarash, a Yisrael, a non-Kohen Levi, that inherited a Bate Arachema, a house in the walled city, from Avi Imay Levi, from his grandfather, specifically his mother's father, that's a Levi, so he's a Yisrael, because although his mother was a Levi, his father is a Yisrael. So the halacha is, Eina Goel Keseder Hazeh. Then he doesn't redeem in this order, meaning, like we said, that if someone sells the Bate Arachema, that it's going to be confirmed for the buyer at the end of a year. Rather, he could always redeem this house, like a Levi, his grandfather, who the Pasuk says, Levim could always redeem their house in the walled cities. It doesn't have the limitation of Bat Erechem. Now, the inverse is, if there's a Levi that he inherited his grandfather, his mother's father that was a Yisrael, a Bat Erechem, no, he does not redeem in the order of a Levi, rather he also has that locha of his grandfather, which in this case is a Yisrael. And therefore, it's confirmed after a year. Shema, because it's like it says in the Pasuk in Biyikra. It says, Ki bate ariyah halavim hi achuzasim. Because the houses of the cities of Levim, that's their inheritance. Which tells us, ad sheyehei, until him, the seller, is a Levi, which comes to exclude the case of when you have a Yisrael that inherited his grandfather, a Levi, that actually he does not redeem like a Levi. He's limited to the year. And v'ariyah halavim. It also has to be from the Levite cities. It has to be from the cities that Yeshua ben Nun had given to the Levim when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, which excludes that even if he's currently a Levi owner, but he inherited from his grandfather Yisrael, that actually he cannot redeem it like a Levi. Which now we have a contradiction between the Reisha and the Seifa, because the Mishnah opened up saying that actually Yisrael that inherited his grandfather a Levi, he could redeem like a Levi. And here we see that he cannot redeem like a Levi, because he has to be a Levi himself. And it has to be the Levite cities, which, yeah, that's like we said regarding the other case, that even though he's a Levi right now, but it's not a Levite city, it's from his grandfather, who is Yisrael. And the Gemara will resolve the contradiction. So this first opinion is Divi Rebbe. He says it has to be both Ari HaLevim, which means to say originally from Levim, his grandfather Levi, and also has to be that he himself is a Levi, not a Yisrael who inherited from his grandfather Levi. The sages say, no, ein dvarim halalu. These halachas, that the allowance of having gulas olam, that the Levites, they could go ahead and redeem it forever, that's only amurim, that was said, ela ba'ari halavim. The only requirement you have to have has to be the cities of the Levim. But it doesn't have to be that the seller himself is a Levi, and therefore, one of the two cases that we mentioned before, a Yisrael that inherited his grandfather, a Levi, the Rabban Hodiah, he does redeem like a Levi, because it's from the Ari halavim, it's from the Levite cities. But, you're right, a Levi that inherited his grandfather Yisrael, the other Rabban agree that he does not redeem like a Levi, because although he himself is a Levi, but it has to be Ar Levim, and it's not Ar Levim, it's from his grandfather Yisrael, from regular cities of a regular Yisrael. Now, the Gemara asked on the Reisha, which said that, in the girl Keseder Hazeh, we said that this Yisrael, although he's Yisrael, but since he inherited from his grandfather Levi, he does not redeem like this normal order of Yisrael, which is only limited to a year. So, says the Gemara Velikaman. So then, whom is he, does he get to redeem the Batei Erechem alike? Are you going to say, which the simple understanding would be, Keben Levi? That he'll be able to redeem it like his grandfather, like a Levi, which he could redeem it forever? But Vahadur Tani, but we learned later on in the Seifa, the Mishnah, which we pointed out already when we read the Mishnah, that Rebbe, who is this first opinion Mishnah, says, Achihei Levi V'Ari Levim. No, it's not enough to be Ari Levim that he inherited this Levite city from his grandfather. He himself, the seller, has to be a Levi. So how can you say this case of Yisrael that inherited his grandfather Levi, that he could redeem it like a Levi? So Emor rather says the Gemara, the way you have to read the Mishnah is, in the Goyal Ella, we're adding on the word Ella, in the Goyal Ella Kaseidazeh, that no, he only redeems it in this order that we've been mentioning up until now, Bat Yerchema, where although his grandfather gave him over the Ari HaLevim, but since he himself is not a Levi, he could only redeem it up until a year. As our Mishnah says that he qualifies, Achihei Levi v'Ari HaLevim Devi Rebbe. The Rebbe says it has to be both. It has to be that the seller is a Levi, and that it has to be from the Levite cities. Now, not the Gemara asks. Bishlami Ari HaLevim, we understand that it has to be the Levite cities, which excludes the case of when it's a Levi who inherited his grandfather Yisrael, which not from Ari HaLevim, it's rather from the Ari Yisrael, Tachsib, like it says in the Pasuk, as he quoted in the Mishnah, Kibati Ari HaLevim, because it has to be the houses of the cities of the Levim. But Ve'el Levi Minolim, how do we know that it has to be that the seller is a Levi, which is excluding the other case of Yisrael that inherited his grandfather Levi, so although it's an Ari HaLevim, but he himself is not a Levi. So that says the Gemara, because Tachsib, the Pasuk says, Vashi Yigal Min HaLevim. And that halacha that applies, that it could always get it back, and it's going to go back to the original Levi owner, says, and that which will be redeemed from the Levium. Now, the word min is an exclusionary terminology, which sounds like it's only to some Levium I gave permission that they could always redeem it, but not to all of them, which excludes that even if it's Ari Levium, but if he himself is not a Levi, then he cannot redeem it forever. He doesn't have those benefits of the Ari Levium. And so too, Tanya learned a brisa that expounds it the same way, which this the girsa, like it says in Teres Kainim, Vashiyigal min halavim. It says in the pasuk, and that which will be redeemed from the levim. Now, what's this teaching? Because Yochel Levi Yisrael Yigal. You would think what the pasuk is talking about, if it only said the other words in the pasuk, Gulas oylem tiyel levim, an eternal redemption, it could be for the levim, which means to say Levim could always get it back. So I would think to say, yeah, that's specifically talking about when a Levi sells from his properties to a Yisrael, then he could redeem it forever. Why would I say it's specifically talking about that case? The Levi has a stronger strength in regards to his properties, whereas Vezeh, the Yisrael, is harukaychay. He has a weaker strength in regards to sales of properties, where when he sells a Bat Erechema, it gets confirmed after a year. Whereas the Levi is yupakaychay because Pasuk says Gula Asylum, he gets to redeem it forever. So Levi versus Yisrael, oh, he'll get it back from the Yisrael even after the year is up. Ava Levi mi Levi, but when a Levi sells to a Levi, loy, I would say he cannot redeem it, rather it gets confirmed after a year by the Bate Erechema. Why? Here they both have a greater strength, and maybe here we don't give the Levi to be able to get it after the year. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches, that which will be redeemed min halavim, from the Levim. All situations, that's why you have these extra words to say that even here he could always redeem it, even when he sold it to a Levi. Now, additionally, and this is the point we're supporting from the Braisa, but it says min halavim, from the Levim, veloi kol halavim, but not all Levim have this benefit. Prat leben Levi, mamzer ben Nosin. This excludes a Levi who's a mamzer or a Nosin, meaning that his mother was a mamzeris or a Nesina, where he's not a holistic Levi in all the understandings, and therefore he does not get the benefit of Levim. That's what we're excluding from Min HaLevim. Now, for sure, we're going to exclude a Yisrael that's only inheriting this house from his grandfather that's a Levi, where he's a Yisrael. He's not even a Levi at all. For sure, he's excluded, and therefore that's the source that we're saying that Min HaLevim, that is excluding, that he not only does it have to be Ari HaLevim, the seller himself has to be a Levi. Now, as we said in the Mishnah, the sages say that no, the only thing is that it has to be regarding the Levite cities, because as the Gemara explains, we don't say that he himself has to be a Levi, and therefore they disagree in the case of Yisrael. The first case, that Sheyarish Abi'imi Levi, they hold that actually will, like actually the wordings of the Mishnah, is not limited to the halachas of Yisrael. He gets the benefit of a Levi because ultimately it is Ari HaLevim. They don't darshan Min HaLevim the way Rebbe did. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme regarding the Ari HaLevim, the Levite cities. There's certain elements that apply to a city. There's something called a Migrash. Migrash is an area of 1,000 Amah that surrounds the city, like the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Lamed Hei, that Mikiri Ir V'chutzar, from the walls of the city going outward, Elef Amah Saviv, 1,000 Amah around, that's an open area. Now, beyond that area, another 1,000 Amahs past that, the Levim had 1,000 Amahs of fields and vineyards, because like there's another pasuk that says that they measured out of the city 2,000 Amahs. So you take away the first 1,000 Amahs, that's the Migrash, that's open, and then the remaining 1,000, that's the fields and the vineyards, because the Migrash is open from anything, there's no houses, no planting. For the beautification of the city, you just have an open area of the first 1,000 Amahs right outside the city. Now regarding these different elements in the Levite cities, the Mishnah says the following halacha. Ein oisin sod migrish. We don't make the area of the fields, which is the outermost 1,000 amas, into migrish, into the totally open nothing area. And the reason for that is because what's called yisha be'etzol, we want etzol to be settled, and this is destroying it because you're diminishing the amount of planting because you're making it just open area. So you can't do that. So too, v'lo migrish sod. You can't make the open area into planting of fields because then you're destroying the beautification of the city. You have no open areas anymore. That became a plantation. And also, v'lo migrish ir, you can't make the open area into the city, meaning to build houses over there, because there's no beautification of a city, again, like we said, without an open area. Now, and for sure, v'lo ir migrish, you can't make the inhabited part of the city into an open area, because we don't destroy the settled part of the cities of Eretz Yisrael. Now, Amr Balasri says, Bamed Ramrum, when did we say these limitations is specifically Ba'ari Halavim, by the Levite cities of Ba'ari Yisrael, but by the cities of Yisraelim, there, Eisen Sada Migrish, you can make the field part and clear it, make it into open clearing. Migrish Sada, you can make the open clearing and you could plant over there. Migrish Ir, you could take the open part and build over there. But V'lo Ir Migrish, but you can't make the inhabited part of the city into an open space. Shleich Riba Esari Yisrael, we don't want them to destroy the cities of the Jewish people, because if they can make clearings, they're going to just destroy the cities. That we don't do. Now, moreover, continues the Mishnah, Hakahanim v'Leviim Meichan Olam, continuing on the Leviim, related that the Kahanim and Leviim, they could always sell their properties, which comes to tell us that, as Rashi says, he heard the interpretation, means say, even in the Yevil year itself. And that's what's saying, they could always sell, which Rashi says is difficult, but why would you say that? Just like Rabbi Shmuel disagreed in the beginning of the Perek and the Chavtesim Abeis regarding a Yisrael, that if he could sell his field in the Yevil year itself, so that dispute, Rabbi Shmuel, should apply just as well over here regarding Kam Levim, and to say the same Kavu Chaymer, which we say that, what I mean, that which was sold up until now comes out right now, that which was not sold, all the more so you shouldn't be able to sell it, because the Gemara said in Chav Chesem et Alf, that also the sale of a Levi goes back in the Yevil year itself. So why would the Kavu Chaymer Shmuel not apply also over here for Kam Levim? Why would they be able to sell in the Yevil year itself? So rather, says Rashi, no, it would appear to him that it's just because in the previous Perek, we said a similar halacha regarding Kam Levim, that they could be Makadishin La'ilim, Vagayin La'ilim, which there was a chiddush over there, that they could always sanctify and redeem their properties. So here also it said that they could always sell and redeem, but really there's no chiddush here regarding selling, because we're not talking about the Yevil year, because that would be contingent on the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. And just that they could sell, obviously, it's just to keep the uniformity of the other half of the statement, that v'goyin l'la'ilam, that they could always redeem their properties, which, as we said, that is a chiddush, because in contrast to Yisrael, their houses of the walled cities do not get confirmed after a year, rather they could always redeem, and that's the chiddush we're saying. Shem, like it says in the pasuk, g'ulas oilam tila levim, and the eternal redemption will always be for levim, they could always buy back their bat yerachayma, it's not over after a year. The Gemara quotes that we said in the Mishnah that Omer Balazza, he says, Bamed Vamum, when did we say these limitations? You can't switch these different elements of a city. Was Ba'ari Halavim, was regarding the Levite cities. Of Ba'ari Yisrael, Eisim Bechul, but regarding the cities of the Yisraelim, then you could switch it around. But one thing says the Gemara, although it seems to be a machlik is regarding Ari Yisrael, if you could switch it around or not, but the Kuli Alma Mia, but everyone agrees that B'Levim Le Meshanina. But B'Levim, you can't switch it around. Mononymously, says Gemara, where do we know this from? So Omer Balazza says, because the Amar Kra. Pasuk says, "V'yikro usadei migrish areim lo yimacher." Regarding the Ari Levim, it says that the field of the open spaces of their cities you can't sell. Now, my lo yimacher, what does it mean by the Ari Levim that they can't sell it? Ilem lo yimacher klal. If it means you can't sell from the Ari Levim, va'menachsev. But the fact that it says in the pasuk, "Gu'ulas oyom ti Levim," that Levim could always buy back machlad mezavni. Obviously, it could be sold. What does it mean it cannot be sold? It means lo yishana. It means you cannot change it from what it originally was. That is, you could sell it, but you can't change it. You got to keep it with the uniformity. So even, let's say, the buyer, he has the migrish, you got to keep it migrish. You bought the side, you got to keep it there. You can't switch it from what it was. And that's a specific halacha of the psukim of the Levium. Now, the Mishnah concluded by saying, HaKahanav HaLevium, Meichun La'ilam, they could always sell it, which we said that depends on how we interpret that, but it's just saying they could sell. V'goyin La'ilam, and the main chiddush was, regarding that, they could always redeem. They don't have the limitations of Yisrael, which certain limitations up until how much they could redeem. Now, Tarmon learned the Braisa to expound how far does this go, that the Pasuk says, Gulas Oilam Ti Levim, an eternal redemption will be for the Levim, Matamalim, what's this coming to teach us? And we're going to show that in other areas of sales of Yisraelim, that's limitations, the Levim don't have those limitations. So, first one is Lefishan. It says regarding when someone sells his Steachuza. says b'mispar shnei tevuos yimachlach, that regarding the counting of the years of produce, that's how much is going to be sold, that there's a limitation of 2 years that the consumer has to be able to hold on to it. Says the Braisa, Yochalav Zayuthin goes over here by a Levi Cain, that the same thing would be that if he sells his ancestral field, which is, where does he have ancestral fields? Is those 1,000 Amis that are beyond the Migrish area, that you would think that also he would not be able to redeem it back from the buyer unless at least 2 years have passed. Tamalevas, it says, no, Gu'ulas Ilam Ti Levim, and the eternal redemption will be for Levim. They could always redeem it, even within the 2 years. Additionally, Fisha Nema, since it says in another context, when someone sanctifies a Steachuza, and someone else redeems it from Hektish, the halacha is that in the Yevil year goes out to Kahanim, like it says in the Pasig, V'haya asad b'tzeisa b'yevil, when the field's going to go out in the Yevil year, it's going to go out Kodesh L'Hashem, it's Holy T'Hashem, which then it gets subdivided by the Kahanim, that the Yevil year falls out in their Mishma. Yochalav Zekein, you would think the same thing would be over here, when a Levi sanctifies his field and he doesn't redeem it, then in the Yevil year it's lost from him, and he never gets it back. Tamalei Megula Zayim to Levim, that's what it says, no, an eternal redemption will be for Levim, he could get it back. Additionally, the Fishanema, since the Pasuk says, V'kama bayis asher bi'ir, that this house of that was in the city, Ashaloi Chayma, that it has a wall and it was sold to someone else, after the year, let's mises, will be confirmed to be, it's going to always remain to be the buyers. Yochalav Zekein, you would think also the same thing would apply when the Levi sells his Bati Erech Chayma. Tamaloi Magula Sayam Ti Levim, no, that's what it says, an eternal redemption will be for the Levim. Again, the Levi is not limited to these limitations like it is by Israel. Now, on this price, the Gemara asks as follows. We understand the first two halachas, we understand how it applies to a Levi. A Levi has, as we said, the steachuza regarding selling it, regarding makdash it. It doesn't have those limitations. But regarding the third halacha, that we're saying regarding the houses of the walled cities, that we're saying that Levim don't have the limitation of just a year, Levim mi islu? Do Levim even have houses of walled cities? But Vatanyu, learn the Braisa, that Arm halalu, these cities which were given to Levim, Ein oisin oisin, loik farm ketanim, because really Levim didn't get any property. Their property is Hashem, is the Beis HaMikdash. But they have somewhere where to live. So there were certain cities that were given to them. But there were certain criterion for those cities. One was, Ein oisin oisin, loik farm ketanim, we don't make them small villages, because since additionally the Ari Levim were what's called Ari Miklat, they were cities of refuge for someone who killed by mistake, we needed to be a settled place, not a small village, for people that flee over there and that by mistake had killed someone to be able to get their needs met. So it can't be too small of a village. Now, but additionally, it cannot be large cities, because since the large cities, people come from all over to do business over there, and then the redeemer of the blood, the relative of the one who was killed by mistake, will also then end up there because it's a large city, and then he's going to hunt down and ambush the one who had killed his relative, and he's going to kill him. So we don't want people, too many people coming to this city. It can't be a large city. It has to be just a medium-sized city. But a medium-sized city is not these big fortified cities with a wall. So Levim never had Bat Erech Chaimah. So what are you saying that they don't have the limitation that of a year, they don't have those cities anyway? So Rav Kanai says, Lekash, it's not difficult. Kan shehukuf ul b'sayv yashav. Here we're talking about that when the wall was surrounded with a wall, and only subsequently it was settled, there you're right. There we don't encounter any Levim, like you said, because those fortified cities, when Yeshua ben Nun gave out the lands and the cities, that wasn't given to the Levim, because we wanted them to have Aram Bein Enias. But Kan Sheyoshim Sev Hukav, what we're talking about over here in the third halacha, the Braise, is when Yeshua ben Nun gave them an unwalled city, and they settled it, and then subsequently they walled it. So that's what we're saying, even though they have a Bat Erech Chaimah, it wasn't given to them as such, but now they do have it, that then they don't have the limitation, if they sell it, to be confirmed after a year. Which the Gemara asks, what, in such a case that you're describing, where the Levim first settled their cities, and only subsequently that they surrounded it with a wall, mi havi chayme, would in halacha that be considered a walled city to have to exclude it from the limitations of a bat or a chayme that Israel usually has? But v'tanyu, in the Braisa, the Pasuk says, v'ish ki yimker beis meishav ir chayme. If a man's going to sell a house that's settled in a city with a wall, which sounds like a house that's settled and built in a city that has a wall, which sounds like shahukiv, because it was had a wall, ulubasev yashav, and only subsequently was it settled, that the wall was made first. That's when you have the lachas of Bat Erechema. The law is shayashav b'sev hukiv, and not when it was first settled and then surrounded with a wall, which is the primary part of the question, but we conclude the braisa, but this is the main thing we're asking, that you see that no, If you're saying that's the only way they had Batei Rechaima, that they first settled and then made a wall, that's not qualified as Batei Rechaima. Now, additionally, even the Braisa continues and says, Yochel afili hikifu Yisrael. You would think that even if the Jewish people went, after they conquered Eretz Yisrael, they didn't settle yet, that they first surrounded it with a wall and then settled it, that would be considered Batei Rechaima. And that says the Braisa, no. Because Nemar Kan Chaima, here it says that it has a wall, regarding the halachas of the walled cities. V'nemel ha'al Chaima, it says over there in Devarim Gimel, when it talks about Kol Elo Ar Mitzuris, these were all the fortified cities that the Canaanim had, that the Jewish people took over, which became the Batei Rechaima. There it also says the terminology wall. Now, Malahal and Abdikacham, just like over there, it was the non-Jews who had made the walls of the cities. Avkan Abdikacham here also, regarding Batei Rechaim, has to be that the non-Jews made it. It can't be, even if it was Hukav of Seb Yashab, that the Jews made the walls, that wouldn't qualify for Batei Rechaim. Additionally, you would think, okay, but Yochel Afili Kifu Abdikacham Lacham Akein. You would think, okay, let's say the non-Jews did it. But the non-Jews did it subsequently after that the Jewish people had already conquered Eretz Yisrael, that there were still some non-Jews over there, that they made it and then it was settled, that then it would be qualified as Batei Rechaima. No. Ne'emel ha'al Chaima says over there, as the pasuk we quoted before, that there were walls. V'ne'emel kan Chaima also says Batei Rechaima that it has walls. Malahal Abi Kacham, Kaimachan, just like over there, what we're describing, those fortified cities, were the non-Jews walled cities that they had before the Jews conquered it. Afkan, Avikachav, Kaimakan, here also has to be that the non-Jews made the walls of the cities to be qualified as Batei Rechaima before the Jews ever conquered Eretz Yisrael. But again, the primary question we're asking is, so we're back to the question. If you're saying that the Jews, that the Levim never had the walled cities, you said, okay, the way they could have it is that they settled and then they made walls, but then that wouldn't qualify as Batei Rechaima to have to exclude it from the limitations of Batei Rechaima. So Tirgumar Rav Yisib, Beredrav Salah Hasidah, he interpreted this halacha kamedra a papa, that the truth is talking about that, yeah, it was surrounded with a wall, and then it was subsequently settled. And that's the halacha we're talking about of the Batei Rechaima, that the Levim don't have those limitations. But then the question was, what do you mean? You quote a Brice that says that the Levite cities had to be medium-sized cities. So then he says, it's Kikon Shenafla, and we're talking about where it happened to fall in the portion that the Levim got. In the days of Yeshua, as we continue to talk about Lama Dalmanav, Hain, those cities, which were surrounded with walls from the non-Jews, Umigrishain, and from their open spaces, it just happened to be. You're right that we don't want them to have those walled cities. They have to be some medium-sized city. But it just happened to be that that's what they got. And therefore, that's the Batei Rechaima that the Levim have, and therefore they don't have the limitation of the Israel. But not the Gemara asks, Hain Umigrish? What are you talking about? That this is what they happen to have gotten? There was a city that was walled with those open areas? But like we said before, we don't make the Levite cities like that. So even if they happen to have gotten it, they would have to destroy the walls. So what are you talking about? They never have Batei Rechaima. Even the cities that had walls, they took away the walls. Amar Vashi says, no, because Yitzchok, it was necessary. So good, I mean, you would think to say, Ad Mistatri, meaning, until they went, and it takes time to demolish the wall, that if until they didn't demolish the wall, if a Levi would go ahead and sell one of the houses before the wall was destroyed, it should be confirmed to the buyer after a year, because now it's still Batei Rechaima. That's what we needed to tell you from this limitation, from the exclusion of the limitation that, no, the Levim, Gulos Odom Ti Levim, even when they didn't get a chance yet, because for the rest of time, they're going to take away the walls. But right away in the beginning, it took a few years to get rid of the walls, and the wall was still up, and it's Batei Rechaima, and the Levi sold to someone else. You would think, oh, okay, so it would be confirmed after a year? It's for that case to tell us that, no, even then, Gulos Odom Ti Levim, even then, when the walls were still up, he was able to buy back after a year.